Many of us associate this Feast of the Epiphany with the three wise men. Its primary purpose is the revealing of Jesus to the world. But most of us grew up with this wonderful story of the wise men. And so what can we learn from these three wise men? Well, number one, wisdom means we find God in our work. We find God in our work. Most of us think primarily we find God at church, and rightly so. We receive him in the Eucharist in a unique way. We encounter him through prayer. But it doesn't mean that we don't encounter God out in the world in our everyday lives. Look at the history of all of Scripture. What was Moses doing when God came in a burning bush? He was tending sheep for his father-in-law, his job. What happened when Jesus encountered Peter? What was Peter doing? Peter was mending his nets as a fisherman. When Jesus encountered Matthew, what was he doing? He was collecting taxes. Even IRS agents can be saved, right? What were the wise men doing? They were studying the stars. And they found this new star indicating a new king had been born. Many people have shared with me the struggles they undergo at work with witnessing things contrary to their faith. Guys, that right there is our opportunity to encounter God. When somebody is making an impure joke or saying using bad language, brothers and sisters, that's our opportunity to say, please don't do that. And you think, well, how is that preaching the faith? Because it's preaching the truth. Don't put the faith in one box and the rest of the world in another. God has asked us as Christians to put them in one box and to live out our faith boldly in the world. These opportunities we run into at work, sometimes even at home, are opportunities to show him our love, to grow in our faith, and to share our faith with others. Secondly, wisdom means that even while God reaches out to us to find us, we must respond by searching to him. Now, what were the wise men given? Were they given a direct line to God? Were they given GPS locations? Were they given a map? No. They were given a star that preceded them, meaning it went before them. They kept following it. You ever feel like God sets a goal for you and you follow it and then he moves the goal? Kids, you ever feel like your parents do that? It's part of growing. It's not because God's mean and sadistic and wants to challenge us for his own pleasure. He's leading us somewhere. Just like he leads those wise men and keeps moving the star until they get there. Brothers and sisters, he doesn't always give us the most direct line either. Notice they go to Jerusalem. They assume that this king will be in the major city. But Bethlehem's just outside Jerusalem, and so they go to the current king, who is Herod. Herod's the current king of Jerusalem, and they ask him, where is this newborn king? And he's like, well, I don't know, but please come and tell me. And believe me, Herod doesn't want to go and worship Jesus. Herod wants to make sure he doesn't have any rivals. He wants to kill Jesus. This is why he kills all the males under a certain age just a few years later, trying to eliminate any competition. You see, brothers and sisters, God initiates a relationship with us. But then he invites us to go somewhere with him, to make a journey. It's analogous to this. If God had come down to human beings, become a man, and stayed a man forever, what would it be worth to us? Instead, he dies and rises again and ascends into heaven, inviting us to follow him there. The goal is not to become, in a sense, fully human, but fully divine. And we must search out God every day because he is always before us. Thirdly, once you find him, then our lives must go in a different direction. Notice that the wise men, after they did find Jesus, it says they left by a different route. Why? Is it because their directions were bad in the first place? No. It's because they didn't want to go back to Herod and tell him where the Christ child was so that Herod could kill him. They left by a different route. But this is also true of our encounter with God. Guys, when we encounter God, whether it's through prayer or a big conversion experience in our life, it requires a change, a going forward by a different way. We can't always do things the way we did before, or nothing's going to change. If all we do is get down on our knees and pray that God's going to change us, but then never do anything different in our lives, we're going to end up frustrated and saying, God, why aren't you changing me? And he's going to say to you, I didn't come to change you. I came to invite you. When we encounter God, we must leave by a different direction. Brothers and sisters, God is not only encountered here in this church. In fact, the ways that will make you grow the most are usually when you encounter him at work, in your interaction with other human beings, because those are going to be the times that challenge you. Honestly, does being surrounded by a bunch of people who share the same belief challenge you? No. We're all comfortable here. We even have padded seats, unlike St. Francis. It's comfortable here. We are comfortable with Jesus and his intimate presence in the Eucharist. But then when the guys start joking at work or the girls start gossiping at work, that's where the faith gets lived out. Remember that he reaches out to you. He invites you to follow a shining light in your own life, just like these wise men, the hope of something new. And when he reaches out to you, he issues you the same invitation that he's been issuing to men and women for centuries, even millennia, to seek him with all your heart, using all your resources, and for as long as it takes. That's what the wise men did and what we are called to do. And when you do find him, to let that encounter move your life in a different direction.